Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. Y'all look nice today. Got that Easter look about you, huh? It is a pretty day, isn't it?
Yes.
The good Lord knows we need them too. We certainly want to thank Him for that. We come to celebrate Easter, the resurrection of our Lord. We don't have any bulletins. The toner decided to run out when they started running them, so that ended that. So we just, once we get cranked up, we'll run till we run out. How about that? All right, we'll try to stay on schedule. A few announcements, though. Ladies Auxiliary meets Mondays from 9 to 12. They're doing quilts to support the veterans. You're invited to come, all of you, and all means everyone. So keep that in mind. Thursday, April 4th at 10 o'clock, will be Bible study out here. And April the 7th at 5 p.m., the official board will meet. And Sunday on the 14th will be the quarterly meeting at 5 p.m. The deacons will meet the 23rd at 6. Does anyone else have any announcements?
Joe, we do have a calendar. Was it
put out there this morning? The new calendar is out there this morning if you didn't get one. Anyone else? Well, it's good to see you. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad to see you today.
Thank you.
your hymn book and turn to 364. This will be a responsive reading that we'll do together. Stand, 364, titled, The Lord is Risen. I'll be the worship leader, and you're going to be the choir. How about that? 364. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. The Lord is risen.
He has risen indeed.
The Lord has risen.
He has risen indeed.
The Lord has risen.
He has risen indeed.
Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Death has been swallowed up in victory.
Christ has risen indeed.
Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die.
Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord has risen.
He has risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Father. We thank you for this day when we can come and just celebrate our risen Lord. We pray you would anoint us with your presence today. Fill us with the hope that is granted to us because you truly live. Thank you, Father, for what you do for us. And bless us as brethren, brothers, and sisters today as we worship in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
You'll turn in your hymnals to 368. We're going to sing verses 1 and 3 of He Lives. Thank you. You may be seated. Mr. Caden has our scriptures this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our Old Testament reading is Isaiah 25, 6 through 9. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast, rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day, they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. The New Testament reading is Mark 16, 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white robes sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. That's the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Trust in you remains.
Since it's Easter, we got two this morning. I'm sorry. You all right? You're good?
Sorry, guys.
The name of this one is Thank You, Jesus, for the Blood. Across the great divide, left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owed, broke my chains, free my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. Took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood. Thank you.
brought me from the darkness into glorious light. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was a blood of life. Glory to His name.
Continue to worship as we pray. Are there any needs or any names this morning we need to remember as we pray?
Yes, Kirby Page.
Kirby Page, okay.
Norman Bird family.
Okay, Norman Bird family. Any others?
Lexing J family.
Lexing J.
She lost her brother.
Okay.
Loretta.
All right.
Cousin, Loretta.
Loretta, okay. Any others? Okay.
Nicole Gaskins,
okay. Any others? Remember these and continue to pray for those who've been praying for, and we thank God for answered prayer. It's so good to see Miss Marie this morning. Good to have you.
Amen.
It's good to see you. All right, let's take action together as we pray.
Father, on this day in our calendar, we thank you for the most precious gift of your Son, who was willing to die for us, for me, on that cross. I have no idea how bad it was, but I know it was bad. And you were willing to send your Son to go through that for us. I don't understand it, but I thank you, God. I pray for all those that were mentioned, Lord, and I pray for those that weren't mentioned. And I pray that we will be with each and every one, Lord, be with our pastor as he brings our morning message, a message from you. We're so thankful, Lord, to be here to worship you in your house on this day. It's in thy precious name I pray. Amen.
Get it every time.
Let's all turn in our hymnals to 358, stand and sing verses 1 and 2 of Because He Lives.
Maybe seated. stand for the doxology, please. Seated. Our scripture text today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. Caden read that for us, and so I'm not going to read it again, but that's where it's at. Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8, and we'll refer to it. I can never not remember Easter Sunday. Growing up in the home of a pastor, we were there. And the sunrise services, the Easter Sundays, it was always one of the big Sundays out of the year. And so today I want to talk about, briefly, the significance of Easter. The single most significant event in history took place on Saturday after Passover around the year 30 AD. It's the day we're celebrating today, Easter. Easter is a Christian festival and holiday celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ on the third day after his crucifixion and death at Calvary, as described to us in the New Testament. Why is it so important and what makes it so significant? Because the events of that day, the events that we read about in Mark 16, confirm three very important truths about life. Without Easter, the name of Jesus would be about as recognizable as the name Thaddeus. Do y'all know who Thaddeus was? Anybody? Nobody. Thaddeus. Who's Thaddeus? Well, that's my point. Thaddeus lived in Israel several years before Christ. There is reference to his name in Acts, but we don't never remember anything about Thaddeus, do we? He was a very popular prophet and teacher. He amassed hundreds of followers, and when he offended the wrong people, they put him to death. Sound familiar? Then why have we never heard of him? Because after his death, his followers scattered and went on to do other things. And the world soon forgot about Thaddeus. When Jesus died, it appeared the same thing would happen. Even before he died, most of his followers deserted him. You remember Peter, anybody? Peter was one of Jesus' key disciples. And Jesus once said to Peter, he said, Peter, you're a rock, and upon this rock I'm going to build my church. But Peter, the rock, crumbled into sand when Jesus was hung on that cross. He deserted him. And not only did he do that, he denied him, having anything to do with him. And so he disappeared. So when Jesus died, it appeared that his cause would die with him and that he would become as obscure as old Thaddeus. But beloved, it didn't happen that way, did it? The followers of Jesus didn't fade into oblivion. In fact, they came back bolder and braver than before. What happened? What made the difference? Easter Sunday. That's what made the difference. When Jesus died, he was placed in the tomb. And everyone assumed that the end was there, that it was it. And on the third day, though, he came back to life, and he was dead and gone, and then he was alive and with them again. And hundreds of people witnessed that. Seeing Jesus' resurrection firsthand changed his followers' perspective on life and death and everything else in between. Easter Sunday and what it stands for, the resurrection of Jesus, confirms three very important truths about life. And let's look at them very quickly here this morning. I want to give you something that you can receive and apply and something you can carry with you and give away. How about that? The first thing, because of the resurrection, we know, first of all, that Jesus was who he said he was. Jesus claimed to be God, and he proved it. Jesus did what Thutis couldn't do. Jesus beat death. Now, you may have heard people say before I have, you know, well, Jesus, he was really just a good moral teacher, like Buddha or Confucius or Mohammed. You really can't say that, though. And here's why. Buddha and Confucius claimed only to be moral teachers, nothing more. Muhammad claimed to be a prophet of God, but he never claimed to be more than just a man. On the other hand, Jesus made claims about himself that Buddha, Confucius, or Muhammad, or anyone else never made. Jesus claimed to be God, and he claimed that he had always existed, and that he would always exist, and that all creation belonged to him, and that someday he would rule the world with total and complete authority. Now, what if I stood before you this morning and said, folks, I'm God. And you know, someday I'm going to rule the world. Would you leave here thinking, oh, what a good moral teacher our preacher is? Huh? Isn't he so good? You'd probably think he's lying. Or he's crazy. That man's lost his mind. And he's dangerous too. And of course, if I made those claims, you'd probably be correct there. However, when Jesus made these claims, he was telling us the truth. Repeatedly, Jesus claimed to be God, and it just drove his enemies crazy. John records this in John chapter 5. He said, it was for this reason the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not because he was breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. When Jesus referred to God as his Father, he didn't say it like we say it. I have an earthly Father, and God is my heavenly Father. No, he didn't say it that way. Jesus quite literally meant that God is my Father, and I don't have an earthly Father. My Father is God Almighty. He claimed to be God, and he proved his claim by conquering death. And this means that we have to take seriously everything he says. For example, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Many believe that all religions lead to the same place, and it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. But Jesus said specifically, I'm the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. And because of the resurrection, these words carry weight they never would have carried otherwise. If he had remained in the grave, the question of whether or not he's the only way to heaven would be a matter of debate, wouldn't it? But the resurrection answered all of these questions and ends the argument once and for all. Jesus has power over death. So I'm certain that Jesus is everything he claimed to be. The second thing is, because of the resurrection, there's no situation beyond the power of God. Could you imagine headed to that tomb that morning and the only thing you could think about was that it was the end of everything that Jesus ever said, he had ever taught, he had ever promised. I'm sure they were in low spirits. You know, we've all been there, haven't we? And on the surface, it appeared that the death of Jesus initiated the death of his dream. It appears that God lost and the devil won, that Jesus died the worst possible death a man could die. He was ridiculed, he was mocked, he was spat on, he was beaten, he was stripped, he was hung on a cross. I mean, it was the ultimate humiliation for a Jew. And the end of his life ran the very opposite to what everyone expected would happen when the Jewish Messiah appeared. They believed the Messiah would usher in a great political kingdom. They longed for a great king to lead them. If they could just get the right person in office, boy, they'd have it made. And instead, they watched him become the ultimate victim. For most people, it was unthinkable that God would be behind the events of Jesus' death. Yet God had a plan. The death of Jesus would pay for the sins of the world, and through his death, all of creation would be reconciled to God. Paul explains it to us this way in Colossians. He said, "For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Jesus Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross." Through his death, the power of death would be defeated once and for all. And through his resurrection, he would be shown to be Lord of all. When you read about the death of Jesus in the Gospels, or when you see a movie like The Passion of Christ, it's not difficult to be overcome with a sense of tragedy, a sense of loss as Jesus is nailed to the cross. It's hard to even look at it or think about it. It appears for a moment that his enemies won the war, but beloved, God was not finished. And since we know how the story turns out, we can almost hear heaven shout triumphantly as Jesus was laid in the tomb. You can almost hear God the Father say, "Ah, I've got you right where I need for you to be." Jesus knew on the third day that that stone that closed his tomb would be rolled away. And he knew that the blood in a lifeless corpse would flow again. He knew his lungs would fill with air. He knew his strength would return to his body. He knew he would stand again. And just as God brought his son back from the dead, just as God raised him from the dead and caused a resurrection in his life, he can cause a resurrection in our life too. Isn't that good news? Think about it. What has died in your life? What dreams? What hopes? What relationships? What vision? What is happening in your world that appears to be beyond the hand of God? What in your life needs a resurrection? Easter morning teaches us that no matter what happens in life, nothing, absolutely nothing, is beyond God's power. And because God is great, I don't have to be. Amen? The resurrection makes the word hopeless obsolete. It makes the word impossible meaningless. It makes the word despair powerless. And that's why Paul said, "If the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead is living in you, he will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Holy Spirit." No situation is beyond God's power to save. The resurrection proves it. And the third thing the Easter story confirms is God's forgiveness is available to everyone. As the women stepped into that empty tomb that Sunday morning, they were met by an angel dressed in a white robe. The angel said that Jesus had been risen from the dead, and he told them, "Go tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you to Galilee." I wonder why the angel mentioned Peter specifically. Why would the angel say, "You go and you find Peter, and you be sure you tell Peter"? I believe it was so that there wouldn't be any doubt in anyone's mind that God intended to fully restore this fallen disciple into a right relationship with Almighty God. Peter must have felt miserable. And all the disciples must have felt miserable as they had deserted Jesus in his final hour. But Peter's failure was the most eye-catching. He publicly denied Jesus, not one time, but three times. And Peter must have remembered what Jesus once said when he said, "Whoever denies me before others, I will also deny them before my Father in heaven." And I'm sure Peter believed that he was all washed up as a follower of Jesus Christ. And I'm sure most of Jesus' other disciples believed the same thing about Peter. They were probably talking about him, you reckon? Boy, did you hear what Peter said? Three times, you know. I didn't say it but one. But I believe God wanted to make it clear to them, and he wants to make it clear to us right now. His forgiveness is available to everyone. Eternal life is available to everyone. It begins now. The Bible says God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus paid the price for your sin and my sin, and he paid them all. I don't know how many he got, but he paid them all. He's able to do that. There's nothing left for you to pay. There's nothing left for you to do except receive his forgiveness. Now, that's good news, isn't it? Huh? Now, I hadn't had too many people say, "Boy, you got a debt. We're just going to pay it for you, huh?" I've always had to pay all my debts. But this is one I can't pay. It's one I don't have to pay because God's paid it. During his earthly ministry, Jesus went around forgiving sins. His promise of forgiveness would have been meaningless without the resurrection. His resurrection proves he has the power to forgive your sins and my sins and restore us to the ideal relationship with God that's real and meaningful. And in conclusion, the greatest man in history had no servants. They called him master. He had no degree, yet they called him teacher. He had no medicines, yet they called him healer. He had no army, yet kings feared him. He won no military battles, yet he conquered the world. He committed no crime, yet they crucified him. He was buried in a tomb, yet he rose again and lives today. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. He is risen. And were it not for Easter, our world would be unrecognizably different. The benefits of the resurrection of Jesus are just simply amazing. Our illnesses don't seem nearly so final. Our fears fade and lose their grip. Our grief over those who have gone on before us is diminished. Our desires to press on in spite of major obstacles is rejuvenated. Why? Because he's risen. He has risen indeed. And it changes our perspective on life, death, on life and death, and everything in between. Easter Day is the most significant day in history. Easter says you can put truth in a grave, but it won't stay there. Church, Easter Sunday means everything to us. And so today, let's celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. Father, we thank you for your word this morning and all it says to us. The promises you've made, the promises you kept, and the promises you'll keep. All in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Take your hymn book and turn to our closing hymn, 366.
Thank you.
again, thank you for being here, bringing the spirit of Easter. Have a wonderful day. And the flowers today are placed in the sanctuary in memory of Cornell Sloan. We are thankful for that, Cornell, from Cornell's family, Sloan family. Anybody have anything to say before we leave?
Hallelujah.
All right. That it? All right. We all have a wonderful day. Father, we thank you for this day, a time to come and set aside the cares and concerns of life and just hear from you. And today we want to recommit our faith together as we unify our hearts and pray together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever. Amen.